listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 12th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we are going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. I tell you, sometimes it's that last one that I think we're really striving for, peaceful coexistence. Oh, kind of a constant work in progress, isn't it?
It is. And may I just say, I send out white lights every day throughout the planet, because kind of messy at the moment, I'm afraid.
And it seems like, you know, sometimes things can be calm, but so many times throughout history, even recent history, there's always fires going on somewhere, and there's a lot of frustration and pain in the world, but there's a lot of good things in the world too. There's always new life being born into the world every day, new experiences had. The constant change brings with it both good and bad things, but it always brings new possibility, new hope, new possibility for great and wondrous things to be experienced. And I think one of those things was, I believe, Dr. Hunter, you had caught me up that one of our members, our card keeper, Wendy, had a birthday recently. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday, Wendy's birthday.
So,
sorry for interrupting you, Michael. I was just going to say, we just need a little self-awareness in the world, what we're going to talk about. It skipped to Wendy's birthday. That's awesome. Anybody else who has a birthday, please put it in the chat, and we'll give you a shout-out.
I tell you, yesterday was also one of my favorite people's birthday, Annalia Schuler. She is like family. She's the daughter of my best friend, and he was my roommate for a long time, so we kind of grew up together. So she just turned 10, and it's really blowing my mind, because I remember, you know, when she was born, I remember Trevor and his wife at the time and that whole experience. And 10 years later, it's wild. So again, and that comes to awareness and consciousness and experiencing this reality. It is a yin and yang of both wondrous, beautiful things and horrendous and terrifying and anguishing things. Awareness, you know, is... Go ahead.
A friend of mine, we join up every day and go for a walk around some of the parks here around town, and we've recently been talking about what a bubble we live in. you know, and how fortunate we are. And that's so important to remind ourselves of, you know, that reality is subjective, right? Your awareness is completely dependent on your life and how you live your life and where you live your life. Mm. And but to poke your head up now and again and look at the world, to what's going on in the world, to be aware of the world and then your place in the world. And, you know, there's times when I say, I think, you know, this lifetime may have had some, you know, bumps along the road, but how fortunate this lifetime is for me that where I live, how I live, you know, and that I live in this beautiful place. My grandkids are 5 minutes away, watching them grow up and being aware of that, you know. And again, it reminds us of how that reality is subjective and people's awareness is just limited. So mm-hmm. I guess that's where we can start, is to be self-aware. You know, we can do the analysis of it psychologically. If you're someone who thinks of God as outside the self and you pray to that God, then your awareness is within that relationship with God, you know. And intellectually, mm-hmm. how are you aware? How do you process? How do you think? What do you believe? How do you feel? The dynamic in relationships. But to then be self-analytical is a little different than being self-aware.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the ability for human beings to identify our own existence in a kind of self-reflective way, even at a basic level, even the most dense human being has a level of self-awareness that exceeds that of, you know, most animals. Now, I'm going to say there are some great apes and I think orca whales and dolphins that are smarter than some people I've met, but few and far between.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest,
I agree.
Few and far between. And it is that self-awareness. And I think, again, it is a wonderful thing that we can grapple with some of the great questions of existence, that we can perceive reality in a deeper way, on a deeper level than a house cat or a dog or anything that you might come across, or even a great ape. While they might be able to start scratching the surface of what we would consider being self-aware. And I would say, do you think a big part of it is understanding our own mortality, Dr. Hunter? Do you think that's a big part of being self-aware?
I don't think we really get a handle on mortality, at least our own mortality, until we're older. I mean, you can certainly be hit with mortality at periods throughout your life. But I don't think it's until you're older that you realize you're facing it. Now, that's excluding, illness or trauma, other things that would make you face, you know, mortality. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's inevitable. You see, so when you get older, you know it's inevitable. So mortality is, again, I think the view of it's very subjective. And, you know, being aware of it in varying levels or phases, stages, degrees of, you know, we're here for a short time. You can say that intellectually when you're young, but you feel it emotionally and spiritually when you're older. So that's mm-hmm. what I mean by it's all different.
I remember, you know, talking about mortality. I remember when I was, I had to be 9 or 10, maybe 9. It was, well, that's really beside the point, as I try to pinpoint exactly how old I was when I had this thought. But when I realized my dog, my boyhood dog Milo, it occurred to me that he was going to die one day. Mm. It made me so upset. It popped in my head, and I realized, oh, my God, he's... And then it occurred to me, my parents are going to die. And then I thought, and I went on this whole existential thing. I was having a bad day. And my folks had to console me. It was a whole thing. And that's, you know... Again, a big part of why do we have religion to begin with? Because we have these huge existential questions that, you know, let me just also do a sidestep into talking about how life is one gigantic paradox of contradictory things being true. And you would think in a rational world, if, you know, if subject A is true, then subject B should not. But subject A is true and subject B are both true. You know, we were making some jokes before the broadcast about, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And the fact that, you know, change is constant and change is always happening. But then again, it seems like nothing ever changes. How can you have so many contradictory paradoxes that are true at the same time? And being able to grapple with questions like that is one of the wonderful things about human consciousness.
Well, and self-awareness. You can ask those questions, Michael, because you're aware. So I think, for me, I look at self-awareness from two positions. One is from that psychological, intellectualized view of being aware of your good manners. You know, it doesn't even have to go so deep as how do you process information, because a lot of people don't even ask that question. But how do you present yourself? How do you dress when you go to work? How do you, you know, what are your greetings, salutations, making sure you know how to write a letter? And all of that lends to being self-aware to coexist. So that's, you know, those levels of awareness. I think psychology is a wonderful party with that stuff. The other end of it for me is more from a spiritual point of view, which is, who am I? You know, it's right. That being aware of who I am. And when I remind myself that I'm a spiritual being, here, as you say, we can enter mortality. I'm a spiritual being beamed into this body that equals a mind, then being aware of that mind, how that mind works, and constantly being awake to how I am in the world, how I'm evolving. And the older I get, and I think, you know, I've heard this kind of before, but it really does play on, I'm going to paraphrase, is that the older I get, the closer I am to who I was born to be. You know, and that's the joy of being self-aware in that way. So it's a different kind of position on what self-awareness is and knowing who I am. And being that individual, autonomous kind of being that is coexisting with the world. Because then, of course, we're all one big mind on the earth, if you want to look at it that way. But how we're all connected. So
well,
I think that...
There is a joint sense of consciousness. You know, there always is a mood in society that you can feel. There's always ways that we tap into the wider and broader consciousness. And I think, you know, of course, this is non-verifiable, like most things, most of the great questions are, but I think it's absolutely possible and maybe even likely that you could have a form of pooled consciousness among humanity. Consciousness in itself seems to be an integral part of existence. It seems to, the universe seems to need something to observe it in order for itself to exist. And
see, but Michael, you're aware enough to ask the question. Or ponder the thought.
And just imagine that we're mere human beings and a universe full of infinite wonders and infinite possibility. There are certainly beings that have a deeper understanding of reality than we do. For example, reality can't possibly be simply linear and based on time. You cannot have something that comes from nothing. Therefore, the existence has to have always existed in some form of another. That means time has to be relative. You know, how can we human beings wrap our heads around that? And what do you call the if we are self-aware and if we are sentient, what is the next level? When do you get to some kind of godlike being like Q for those with Star Trek? But,
yeah, I love Star Trek.
Oh, it's the best. But anybody that's watched Star Trek knows the character Q, a godlike creature that can do anything and that understands reality and physics and existence in a way that we can't. But it's, you know, there's just so many fascinating questions. And really, this is why it's such a great topic, is because to ask about, you know, what is self-awareness What is consciousness? These are the core questions of metaphysics. It's,
well, I think then we have to take, how did that play into your life? When you are self-aware, are we resigned to that's the way it is? Or how do we want to evolve? Because self-awareness also brings responsibility.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we say, oh, I was born that way. I can't help it. That's what I was taught. Or do we say, I'm aware enough of certain things in myself. I know the difference versus what's ingrained. You know, I can't change the color of my eyes without it being contacts. You know, I can pretend. But in the realness of it, you know, just accepting those things of who I am that are not changeable, but all these other things that are absolutely changeable.
Mm-hmm.
That if we don't like what we are in a certain way, then we can work with that and say, challenge ourselves. Sometimes I think life is a game in a way, and that's where I take my self-awareness in that challenge of, well, this is something to do. This is something to try.
Yeah.
Well, I've never done that before. There's some things I won't do. Like, I don't do well in lakes and water and stuff, so I know how to float. That's all I need. But there's other things that we can challenge ourselves and say, how far can I go? Look, here's an example. And for those of you who don't know, I love sculpting polymer clay. And some of my items are down at a little store. And a lady saw my little aliens that I have and asked if I would be interested in... her son got a tattoo of an alien he designed. And could I make one for him, like a keychain? I said, well, I'd love the challenge to give it a try. Yeah. Well, you know what? I sucked at it, Michael. Sucked. And then, you know, when I'm frustrated with this thing, I can't do that little tiny detail in this keychain. So I finally had to write to her and say, look, here's my progress. I could do a head. I can do something, but the tiny little things. And she wrote back, bless her heart, and said, that is no problem. A head would be great.
Yeah.
And I said, that I can do. So again, being aware enough, it's like not to punish myself to say, oh, I should be able to do this. It's, I wanted to give it a go. You know,
right.
I'm gonna see what I can do here. Oh, I just found a limitation.
Well, it's being self-aware of our limitations, and you know, but also being aware that
willing
we can
to take it on,
willing to take it on, and willing to push the boundaries of our limitations.
Well, I've never done that for somebody before.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool alien tattoo. I love it. So now I've been, this afternoon in particular, I've been working on this alien head, and I'm really liking what's happening. And again, I haven't done something like this for someone else before, so I'm learning about myself through this process. I'm learning about my frustration levels, how I can get VO'd, where I'm not patient. You know, there's a lot of things, and I actually sometimes have to breathe and say, slow down, be patient, walk away, take a break. And I have this dialogue in my head. Otherwise, I'd be sitting there for hours looking at this tattoo thing and being frustrated. So knowing myself, and to me, that's those levels of being aware, you know, self-aware.
Well, and it's also that human capacity for being self-aware that has led us to having a guiding hand in our own physical evolution. We consciously make decisions on how we behave. We shape our own lives with our awareness of ourselves. We, of course, build our personalities. We identify those things that we excel at. We pursue those things in our life. And being able to be reflective, being able to be a critical thinker about your own behavioral traits and think of them in a objective and reasonable way is a very effective way of increasing your ability to thrive in life. Identify those skills at which you excel. Find a way that those skills have a function in society that will lead to work, ideally. And you can build a life. And identifying what type of person you are and the type of people you want to be in, having the self-awareness to know that about yourself, know those truths, it will lead to real world improvements. And it also leads to, you know, the fact that we're shaping future generations with conscious thought that will in time shape our very physical evolution throughout existence.
You know, Dr. Stephen has said being isolated for over a year now due to COVID, he's been tracking his awareness focus and how it's changed. And I'll tell you, Stephen, I have talked to so many people about that very subject, about how they had never, and these are people in their 60s, you know, been going like gangbusters their whole life and had never had that period, albeit working from home, whatever they're doing. They had never sat quietly long enough, you know, to know who they are and to be that in that self-awareness. And, of course, there's been these phases, these stages. And now I have friends calling me up. I call it COVID conversations because the small things become really big.
You miss it.
It's not talking about COVID. We're talking about how we get excited over tiny little things now, because otherwise, well, what's new? Oh, nothing.
Exactly. Nothing's changed. But being able to sit in a room with other people that you haven't seen in a long time and talk about how nothing's changed can be a great thing.
Yeah, you see? But being aware of that. Now, we have to be honest, Michael. There's a lot of people who do not ask the questions about who they are. It's intellectual conversation or emotional conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult. And I think this is something that we really need to address tonight is how do you get along with people who are not self-aware? How do you find that middle ground with people who are not self-aware? Or and again, I'm not judging by, oh, you have to be, you know, like guru aware.
Right.
I'm just talking very general. Awareness.
Yeah, and there are extreme examples of this, and frankly, we find them all throughout society. But, you know, we understand that, you know, there is truthfully a reality that we'll never be able to understand ourselves in a certain way, as well as somebody looking at us from outside can understand things about us or can see us in ways that we can't perceive because of our perspective. That being said, you know, nobody knows what's really going on inside someone else's mind, but there are those people who are so completely unaware of their own behaviors or their own traits, often toxic traits. You know, this is a lot of times tied to, you know, narcissistic behaviors. They're completely unaware, and they're unaware, seemingly, of their toxicity. Either that or they thrive off it. That's another personality type entirely.
Well, and to me, the worst ones for that are the people who claim to be spiritual.
Hmm.
You know, there's especially people who are very passive aggressive in their behavior, borderline personality disorders. And again, I'm not ragging on people. I'm just stating it like it is. It's, there's, and yet they claim to be very spiritual and, you know, and isn't that wonderful? And love is all, it's all that matters. And so you can't help but want to buy into it, but the behavior and the words don't stand together. And that's how you can really pick it out.
These are people that do not have high standards of integrity when it comes to being honest with their ability to be self-aware. They want to build up an image of themselves. And so they say that they are spiritual because they want to be that kind of person.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, most Christians say they're Christian culturally because they want to be part of that tribe. Even though they have no real understanding of the fundamentals of what Christ would have taught had he, you know, if it when he existed, it's
so
funny.
Like and it's okay to still go blow up another country
exactly
with all those people, even though you claim to be Christian. Yeah,
I mean,
I know
and
what you mean.
there was a wonderful saying this past holiday season where somebody, and I can't recall who to attribute this to, but somebody just made a quip on Twitter that says, you know, before they put the Christ back into Christmas, they should put the Christ back into Christianity. And that just hits the nail on the head so much.
Yeah.
And the ability for human beings to twist their concept of self-awareness, to twist their self-concept, is wondrous. It is.
I know.
It is a, you know.
I know.
It's a superpower. And it's astonishing to me sometimes.
Well, it is. And so, again, we're talking about the varying levels of self-awareness. And when I have to engage in conversations with people who are not totally very aware, and I'm not talking about in a working sense, because I know in my job when I'm working with people, that's a given.
Right.
And that sits with no judgment, no criticism, no anything, because people are reaching out. They truly want to be more self-aware. There's no judgment there. I'm talking about engaging in daily life, you know, whether it's somebody at the shopping center or, you know, the anti-maskers and the whomever. And I'm thinking those levels of awareness that we still have to coexist with, and finding that place of knowing what's right and wrong, what you will and won't do,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding a middle ground of any kind of conversation you must engage with, you know. So I think with family members, a lot of people who have different political views, for instance, and, you know, different beliefs. So you find that middle ground and, hey, talk about, muffin recipes, finding that other thing. And you might feel like you're minimizing your life, but you're still having relations with people.
And there are a lot of things that go on in life that don't have to relate to politics or religious philosophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be really difficult when there are disagreements in the family and there are people from different, you know, different sides of the culture war that we're definitely going through.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a little, it's not bad, definitely not bad, but I have a little bit of that in terms of, you know, people that I, friends, not family as much, but friends and, you know, people I consider close. And, you know, when some people that I, you know, really care about are as objectively wrong as they are, obviously, because they don't agree with me, it can be very painful. But it's, you know, it's just one of those things where you have to be able to find a middle ground. You have to be able to find what you agree on and thrive in that area, because relationships can't be made up of those little things.
Well, so it's really about how aware do you want to be? How self-aware do you wish to evolve yourself to be?
I wish to be far less self-aware. I mean, I look at dogs, and they are happy all the time. I think it was said once that dogs have that perfect balance of consciousness and just ignorance. They're aware enough to enjoy things, but not too aware to, you know, suffer any, you know, existential way.
You know, I had many years ago, when my grandmother was in a care home, I'd go and visit her regularly, and one day I was sitting beside her bed, and she had dementia at that point quite bad, but I would just go into her reality, you know, we'd have wonderful conversations. And I said to her, or I asked her a question, Grandma, do you think that you believe in reincarnation, that we'd come back in another life? She goes, oh, I hope not. And I said, well, what if you could take all your knowledge with you? She goes, well, I guess that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that those questions that you ask yourself, you know, me entertaining that question with her when she's nearing a time of leaving, you know, it was very adamant in her answer. But no.
Yeah, it's fun because it touches on a core truth that, you know, life, of course life is wonderful, and that's why we cling to it so much, but at the same time, life is painful. Life is hard. And to reincarnate, to go through it again, but without the knowledge from this existence, just to, you know, go through, you know, puberty again is, you know, that's a cliche we can all look back to and hate. But those kind of things, it can be rather daunting. But it is all about perspective. It is about your level of self-awareness and how you perceive yourself to be. And simply perceiving yourself to be and believing yourself to be an optimistic person can just, you know, pay dividends when it comes to actually being optimistic. You know, belief is a powerful force. How we see ourselves, we build up a character over time in our own minds. We build a narrative of ourselves and the world around us. We tell ourselves stories, and we often remember things from our past as stories. It's how humans have communicated ideas and things like this for countless millennia.
You know, and I think sorry, Michael, I have to inject. The most freeing day for me was when I could finally call myself out on my own crap.
Yeah.
And not be attached to it. You know,
yeah.
and not feel, oh, minimized or embarrassed or anything. And to look back at my life and say, oh, I was just stupid.
Yeah. You know?
And it's so freeing to not be attached to the ego. Look, we all need ego to drive us, and it's a wonderful driving force. But the ego and pride is often misplaced and minimizes our ability to be more aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a certain measure of, as Dr. Kelly would say, cognitive dissonance, right? I don't want to give up that part of myself because I'm afraid. So I'm going to keep that. So I don't, you know, I'm not willing to go there and learn that. And it's, you know, I mean, there's times when it really bites, like, man, that really hurts your feelings, or, oh, I'm really embarrassed, or what does that mean now, or, whew, you know, I, all those dark corners of myself, finally somebody saw them and voiced it, oh, my God, I want to hide, you know, all those things that happen to us, and, but when you can free yourself and say, yeah, that was dumb, you know, or I've got some work to do on myself. I'm not making much sense here. <You know? laughs> So it's really wonderful to be able to do that. And in the evolution of ourselves and becoming more aware, that opens to all kinds of other possibilities when you're on this journey called Earth, you know, for while we're here.
Yeah, well,
and immortality.
Well, so to sum it up, self-awareness is wonderful, it's great, and it sucks.
Yeah, I kind of liked myself better when I didn't know anything. But that's my problem. My whole life I thought I knew something. So I kind of was born into this life thinking I was a bit of a smarta, you know? But
and that's it. That. You believed it to be true, and it became true.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, then again, I can only aspire to be, you know, the smartest of asses, so I try.
Well, you know, and this is what, if we can impart anything, you know, else in tonight's conversation is take yourself lightly. Have some humor about it as you're, you know, expanding yourself on this journey. And, in other words, don't take it too personally. That the more you challenge yourself, the more awake you'll become and the more at peace you are, because that is the ultimate gain out of self-awareness, is making peace with yourself.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Being able to be comfortable in your own skin and knowing who you are, why you are who you are, and taking your power and being owning yourself, owning who you are. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be self-aware in that way. I think that was very well said, Dr. Hunter. Thank you for that.
So, you already put it in the chat that we're going to draw some cards. No.
I took the liberty. I did. And, you know,
good.
The time has come. It is that moment. And we are going to be drawing some cards. We're going to be drawing some cards from the Inner Oracle deck. And I always love to try to think of things to say as I start to get the cards out and just wasting time on air because you can't have dead air. But no, we're going to be pulling Inner Oracle cards, and Dr. Hunter, you're going to be pulling tarot cards. And we're going to kind of match them together and see how see what kind of story it tells, and hopefully it just gets you to think, and hopefully it connects. So we do have Dr. Bridget first, and in the inner oracle deck, I have number 4, past, present, and future.
All right.
The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, the support energy to that, Bridget, is the sun. And I think you have some awareness of the tarot, so you can have your own interpretation. The past, present, future in conjunction with the sun is that, I'm going to take this predictively, that there's something good around the corner. As you take, you know, as you're evaluating the moment, taking inventory, you're embarking on something new in your journey. I like that. I feel like that's a really good affirmation for you at this point. So, you know, you're pulling it all together and moving forward. Good.
All right. Good message. And I believe we have Ione next.
Yes.
All right. Let's see what we have. I have number 8, balance and order.
Okay.
Let's see. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Well, in support of that, Ione, I got the 5 of spades. And what I like about that is that the stress is over, is what I'm feeling here. Is that having gone through a time of maybe some disorder, that things are now gaining order, and that you're taking a breath and kind of looking around and saying, okay, what's next? So I feel like it's a really good time to take a moment to heal, you know, put your feet up, watch a movie, chill, and just kind of breathe a little right now. So that's what I get from that for you.
Yeah, we all need that. We all need that time in our lives. And if you're looking for something, I recommend the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Very entertaining.
It is. I watched it too.
But, yep, you need time to recharge. And go ahead.
Jamil is next. Yes.
All right, Jamil, I have number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. Let's see. Here we are. You are uniquely designed, one of a kind, universal being, and equally entitled to all of the good things in life, same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. And what a great card for our topic tonight of being self-aware.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, Jamil, the support card is the Ace of Diamonds, so Ace of Pentacles in tarot language. And I feel like that's benefit, reward, you know, following your own path would be kind of what you get in return for being you. In other words, not selling out, not becoming like somebody else. Hold fast to your own dream. You know, I have this rule, like 3 times, okay, don't bang your head against a wall. Then it just means that something might need some reshaping. But that's where you're going to find, you know, what is really your frequency and the rewards that come with you living on your own frequency. So I think that's a good affirmation.
Very nice.
I think so.
And I believe we have Dr. Edward next. And Dr. Edward, I have number 17, reinvention. All right. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, I got the King of Hearts in support of that, Edward. And, you know, I know you said in the chat earlier that your life hasn't changed since COVID. Like, it's pretty much the same as it was. But you have changed as a result. And so even though maybe the externally life hasn't changed, you have been evolving. You have been growing and changing and working with things. So what this is saying here is it's more a reinvention from the heart, also emotionally, maybe doing some healing, working on yourself in a lot of ways. So this is saying that I'm going to say you're exactly where you ought to be. That's your own path as well. And reinventing yourself in, you know, other ideas, you know. So I think the self-awareness was a good topic for you today. That's just my thought.
All right. And we have Dr. Jeff next, and glad to have you here, Dr. Jeff.
Yeah. If we can just say to everybody, Jeff has had his first evening trainer with or evening training session with his trainer and his new guide dog. Wasn't sure he could join us tonight, but glad he did. And this is certainly a new adventure for you too, Jeff. So let's see what we have pulling some cards.
All right. And tonight I have in the annual oracle deck number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. I hope that connects.
Well, that's a really powerful message for you, Jeff. I'm sure you're feeling that in a lot of ways with your new buddy and the learning curve. And what the support card for you in this, the support message, is the Three of Clubs. And how do you see the future? You know, how are you moving forward into the future? Because to me, that's what three is, that completion number, that want to be happy number, that, you know, it just wants to be a triangle for a minute and sit there and be good. And but it also likes to look out at what it wants to create next. And so I think that's what this is saying, is that you're, you know, looking at your new obligations, the sacred obligations, perhaps having, I'm going to guess here, a spiritual experience at the moment, an emotional, of course, but how this changes your future. And that's actually very exciting. But again, I'm over here looking at your life. I'm not you experiencing it. So, I'm not minimizing, you know, anything that you might be going through. It's just I find this exciting for you. It's great.
Well, very good. Very nice.
Kevin. Right. We have Kevin next, I think.
I believe you're correct. And Kevin, I have a wild card. First wild card of the evening. It's number 6, entropy. Let's see. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
Well, you might be working on that a bit, Kevin. The first card I selected was the Ten of Clubs, which, you know, you're getting there, but you can feel some pressure. And so I thought, well, what's that about? So I pulled another card, and the Ace of Hearts came up. So it's maybe kind of reevaluating emotionally who's in your life at the moment, what could be a burden to you, what's not connecting, where are your boundaries, you know, all those kinds of taking inventory things, wanting to, you know, kind of balance yourself. And where is your entropy? But again, it's of the heart, matters of the heart. And what's spiritually, what's good for you too. So I think absolutely. There's some reevaluation going on. I hope that makes sense to you.
Oh, very well said.
Now, we had Audra jump in at the last moment.
We're oh, come on. Said, I don't think we have time. Do you, Dr. Hunter?
She said, sorry that I did not send earlier, so I understand if we run out of time. We won't run out of time.
No,
you,
we always have time for our friend Audra.
Yes.
In fact, I have already pulled the card. It was another wild card, Audra. Wild
right.
card number four, unknowable.
Hmm, interesting.
There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind, and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, in support of that, Audra, is the Empress. Now, let's not take it literally. Let's take it kind of symbolically or metaphorically, because in a word, it means fertility. All kinds of ideas, how things grow. You might be feeling a little bit motivated, even though I'm going to go with this. It's kind of feeling motivated, but you don't know why. Mm-hmm. Feeling some incentive, but you don't know why. It's like, ooh, like you're onto something, but you don't know why yet. You know, one of those moments.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's some really good ideas kind of being downloaded into your brain somewhere. But the energy is certainly opening up. And again, what was unknowable before is certainly knowable now or will be coming to you right away. So that's exciting. You know, I have a couple of friends called the Empress the Seed Planter. You know, where you're planting new seeds or new thoughts and, you know, making a fertile ground. And I think that's what you're doing. Good, good message.
It's a great message. Great message.
Well,
I'm glad we were able to... Go ahead.
Sorry. I just wanted to inject that I had it a little bit wrong. Jeff is now going with his trainer because it's finally dark where he is. So, Jeff, I just want to say good luck tonight. We know you'll be great and all the best to you. So it's his first nighttime training course class with his dog. So,
well, I hope everything goes well. I'm sure. Well, dogs are truly the kindest and most noble creatures on the planet.
Yeah.
We do not deserve them, but I hope that it's a good fit, and I'm sure it will be. So, all right. Well, it's been a good conversation tonight. Good discussion. I give Dr. Hunter all credit for that. Thank you for your time, Michael. Dr. Hunter.
Michael, I couldn't have a better co-partner. You're great. And you have your fair share to throw in there, so that's awesome.
Ah, you're too kind. I appreciate you saying that because you're contractually obliged. But anyway. I don't know. I don't think we've talked about a topic for next week, so I think we're going to probably think of the most profound, the most, you know, interesting, compelling topic that you will ever hear on a podcast, broadcast, internet, radio, or on any pre-recorded device. It will be next week. Watch for the topic coming in your email.
And we'll just have a free open discussion night. Maybe we'll do that.
Maybe, but it'll be the most interesting, provocative, free and open discussion night of all time.
It will, for sure.
So, anyway, thank you for joining us tonight. To those listening to the archives, thank you for taking your time to spend with us and to listen to us talk about these topics of metaphysical humanism. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.